This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Man, that sounded fantastic. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Between today and next week and the following week, we're going to talk about the journey, our journey, and the journey of Jesus Christ, where He went and where He was headed. Next week, we'll talk about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem and how great that was for Him, and then what happened over the next couple days, and then what happened the week after that. And today in John chapter 7, we're going to discover a little bit about Him and a little bit about questions that we go through and kind of our lifestyle and our questions of Him. We'll start in John chapter 7, verse 1. And it says, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for He did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill Him." That's a pretty good reason not to want to walk there, where someone wants to kill you. Amen? "So they were seeking to kill Him. He said, 'I don't want to go there.' Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And His brothers therefore said to Him, 'Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For even His brothers did not believe Him." And He goes on to say, "Jesus then said to Him, 'My time has not yet come.'" They're trying to tell Jesus, "You need to go here and do this for this reason." And He simply responded back. He didn't have to argue and fight. He just said, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me. Why? Because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to the feast, for my time has not fully come." And when He had said these things to them, He remained in Galilee. So Jesus is first going, and people are questioning Him. "Why are you stopping? Why are you not going? Why don't you want to go there? Hey, they want to kill me there, so I don't think I should go to this place." Then they're trying to give Him instruction on going there. And it talks about, well, is this for good or for bad? You know, do you want to do something? If you want to make a name for yourself. Now think about this. When people tell you, "Hey, if you want to be this or be that, here's what you need to do." I always love advice from the back seat, right? Here's what you do. The Monday morning quarterbacks, you know, all those things. They should have done this. Had they not done this, they would have been, yeah. And then never take advice from people that don't have two nickels to rub together on money. That's for sure. If they want to tell you how to make money, but they don't have 20 cents or a quarter to loan you, stay away from them. So it's kind of Jesus saying, "Hey, I know what's good for me. My time hasn't come. Thanks for the advice, but I'm going to pass on this." And He goes on in verse 10. And in reading verse 10 through 13, I like this. It says, "When His brothers had gone up, then He also went up to the feast." Not openly. So He said, "I'm not going up there." But when they had gone, He went up there secretly. Not openly, but as it were in secret. "Then the Jews sought Him at the feast and said, 'Where is He?' And there was much complaining among the people concerning Him." Now listen to this part especially, because you guys have been in this debate, or you will hear this debate at some point in your life in reference to Jesus Christ. "Much complaining among the people concerning Him, and some said, 'He is good.'" Pretty simple. "But others said, 'No. Not just no, but on the contrary, He deceives the people.' However, no one spoke openly of Him for fear of the Jews." So in our daily walk, we're going to have opportunities that we say, "Hey, He's good." And people will come against you and say, "Whoa, no, He's not. He's not. He deceives people. He allows bad things to happen," and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But there's always going to be the debate of good and evil. And this is about Jesus Christ. This is His journey. He's got to hear people talking good and bad about Him. But it's our journey also, because in our journey, we hear people doing the same thing. And we probably do the same thing. Remember a couple weeks ago I said about children, we do the same thing about our God. This is my son or daughter. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they wonderful? Look at the awards they got. Your son or your daughter is misbehaving. Get control of them. All of a sudden it becomes somebody else's and it's not ours to own. Jesus Christ is great and mighty. He has brought children into this world. Your God could not save my so-and-so from dying. And we do the same debate. But our faith calls us to support Jesus Christ and to be there. A long time ago, Eric did a message and he talked about the fan that was there through thick and thin. Not just in the winning seasons, but forever. You're either a fan or you're not. Are you in the game or not? Do you really want to support the team or not? But these people didn't want to do it openly. And some of us, man, we're still wrestling with that. I just don't know. Is this God a good God or a bad God? Because I'm still having bad stuff happen in my life. And I guarantee if you step all in, bad stuff may still happen or can still happen. And that's a lot of times when the devil shows up and said, uh-oh, I lost one over to him. I think I'll go after them, see if I can pull them back here. And we want to go back to that comfort zone where we were. Now flip over several verses into verse 37 of John chapter 7. Verse 37 through 39 says, on the last day, and there was great debate, by the way, in between this point where they were saying there's good and evil. Great debate on people going, well, is this a Christ or isn't this a Christ? And it says in verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying. Now listen, he stood and cried out. If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That doesn't sound like something he just went in the back street and told four or five people that could hear him. Hey, he that believes in me, come do this. He's proclaiming this. Crying out to the people. If anyone thirst, that's any one of us. That's our neighbors, our relatives, our co-workers. If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Church, this Easter, I've asked you guys a couple weeks ago, invite people to meet the living Christ, the living Savior. I'm not asking if these people know Jesus Christ. I'm asking if they're thirsty. And I'm telling you, invite them here and give them a drink. Invite them here and give them a drink. They may have seen water before. They may have tasted that water before and had a little bit. But today they are dry and they are parched. And they are thirsty. And by the way, that's a drink you and I cannot provide to them. Except through the Scripture. Introducing them to the one that can give that drink and quench that thirst. Amen? That's His promise. He talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit saying, but this He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And I mentioned it during our praise and worship time, but during practice, man, that presence was strong today. Anna said, I'm not done. I'm not done with this song. Started playing, the band joined in. I stepped out and just had my moment with God and the Holy Spirit. And I prayed that today He would move freely through here. The Holy Spirit is here. I just want Him to move freely without obstruction. Now, in case you don't know, we're the obstruction. We get in the way of Him doing His work. But Jesus said those believing in Him would receive the Holy Spirit. That's the promise that is made. Then in verse 40 through 44 says, therefore, many from the crowd, when they had heard this saying, said, truly this is the prophet. And others said, this is the Christ. But some, there's always some, but some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was what? there was division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. And we're back to the debate again. Do I really believe? Is he really there? Was he really hung on a cross? Buried? And did he really raise from the dead and ascend into heaven? That debate wages on and on. Now, all this in the Bible leads up to the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But as they're going there, turn over to chapter 9 of John. And it talks going through this way as they have these great debates. They talk about who this guy is. And as we're turning to John chapter 9, it does say in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We sang about being free today. We talked about the Savior being mighty to save. And he said, "You will be made free." So in John chapter 1, it says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Church, let us be very careful when we come across people that have different health issues than us, may have been born differently than us. And I've heard Christians say, "There's sin in your life that's caused that. There's sin in your parents' life that has caused this. Somebody was living with unforgiveness or unconfessed sin." The Bible doesn't tell us to do that, church. It says right here that we're born differently. But we are all born of God and in His image. God makes no mistakes. He said this guy was blind from birth. Who sinned? And Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The other song we sang said, "Shine your light, let the whole world see." Jesus Christ gives us different people for different reasons and for His glorification. For us to say who sinned or tell someone the reason that happened when we don't know. That's part of the mysteries Dr. Johnson talked about last week. We don't know. But he says, but that the works of God should be revealed in him who is different. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed his eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. He now has sight. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind from birth said, "Is this not he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." And others said, "He is like him." But the young man, who was blind from birth but now can see, said, "Oh no, I am he." Those who knew him said, "That's him." Others familiar said, "It looks like him." But the man stood there and said, no, this is me. I was a blind man, but today I see. And they said to him, how? How were your eyes opened? How did this happen? And he answered and said to them, A man called Jesus did this to me. He made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. This started out with a man. And others trying to say, this is why he's this way. Or what caused it, this or this. And Jesus Christ said it was none of those reasons. None of those reasons were the reason he didn't receive sight. Or he didn't have sight. He didn't have sight because my works had to take place, so that they could glorify my Father in heaven. Now the Pharisees, being a big fan of Jesus Christ, they like that a lot. And so in the meantime, we're going to skip over to John 9:35. And in between those verses that we're not reading, the Pharisees said, get out of here. You're saying this Jesus guy gave you sight? And they excommunicated him. And Jesus heard in verse 35 of John 9, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? See, all this guy knew was this guy named Jesus made some clay, put on his eyes, and he received sight. And so now Jesus is face to face with him saying, do you believe in the Son of God? And this guy wants to know, who is this guy? Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And I love this because we covered this a couple years ago as we were leading into Easter. And Jesus said, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then immediately he said, Lord, I believe. Wouldn't you too? It doesn't say, wouldn't you too? I'm saying that. And he worshiped him. And I think sometimes because we're not walking around blind, so to speak, and we'll cover that in just a minute here, we're still looking for Jesus to work a miracle in our life, so that we can see. But the bottom line is, Jesus says, you've both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And I think there's times he's talking with us, and we miss it. We miss it. There was a tragedy in the news this past week of the bus full of seniors returning from a church retreat. And I thought that comes back to the debate. These are people serving Jesus Christ, going to a church retreat and killed. This Jesus, would he allow that? There was another story, easily missed and probably not talked about nearly as much, of a fifth grade bus that broke down on the highway. Fifth graders, you know how entertained they are. Sitting on the side of the road for 2 hours, waiting for the bus to show up, the replacement bus. And the guy drove past and saw them. And he drove out of his way, went down and bought Powerade for them to take back to the thirsty kids. He said, God told me to do it. And so I did it. I didn't hesitate. Okay, did everyone get Powerade? Oh, you too? Okay, I'm too short. Drove back, got two more, and took it back to the kids. Man, that's God to me. Saying there's still good people in this world that saw these fifth graders, had an agenda, he was working, but had a bigger agenda to serve Jesus Christ. And went and took them Powerade, and when he saw he did not have enough for everyone else, went and got more. See, we've got to look at the good and the bad in our eyes. The bottom line, it's all for Jesus or God's plan. It's all in His will. If I drop dead tomorrow, it's not my plans, but it's in God's will. And I want to go serving Him. I want to go serving Him. When I pray in my chair and I die praying, that's the way to go, serving Him. These people were serving Jesus Christ and coming back to tell others about it. And lo and behold, in an instant, they were with Him. Whew! Man, today I'm here talking about Him. In an instant, I'm with Him. How great is that? That's what we have to look for. And it's hard to look beyond death, church. I look around and I see people in every section that have lost someone dear to them. And they hurt. And they have a void. But Jesus Christ says, man, that was part of my plan. And I want you to follow me, and I want you to listen to me still. In spite of this, listen to me. Because you can and will be a light for me to others. You've both seen Him, and it is He who is talking to you. Then then the young man said, Lord, I believe and worshiped Him. We're in trouble. And Jesus, in responding to that, said, for judgment I have come into this world that those who do not see may see. And that those who see may be made blind. Remember, He said, the physician is not for those that are well, but for those that are sick. I came for those who do not see that they may see, and those who see may be made blind. But of course the Pharisees came up. It says, then some of the Pharisees who were with Him heard these words and said to Him, are we blind also? And listen to how Jesus responded to them. He said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remains. So I want to flip back and just hold your page there in chapter 9. In verse 11, as we go back and we read about Jesus doing this to His eyes, they said, how were your eyes open? And the guy responded, the man, they called Jesus. In verse 17, he goes on, and they said to the blind man again, what do you say about Him who has opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. So first he's a man. Now he's a prophet. And then in verse 36, he answered and said, who is He, Lord, that I may believe in Him? And he proclaims Him as Lord. And just as Jesus goes through that journey of being identified as a man and a prophet and Lord, so comes our journey where we say, I don't know, man, this guy invited me to church and he told me about this man called Jesus. But as I started studying about Him, I'm starting to see that this guy's a prophet. He knows what's going on. You're not going to believe what happened. As I studied this guy further, this man named Jesus, who was a prophet and was able to tell things, I asked this guy into my life. He is now Lord of my life. For I call him Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And so there's a growth of our knowledge as the understanding of Jesus and who he is comes to the people. So it happens in our own journey that understanding becomes more and more aware to us. Of course, the Pharisees, not quite as bright on picking up on that. For being educated men in those communities, boy, they just didn't pick up on that. A couple did, as the scriptures tell us. A couple came to him in secret and said, "Hey, I want to talk to you about this." But for the most part, they did not get that. Now in chapter 10, Jesus talks about being the true shepherd and the good shepherd, and tells the people that the shepherd knows his sheep and they know the sound of his voice. And I thought it was interesting. Today my wife is in the nursery and she said, "Is there a speaker in there that we can listen to?" She said, "I kind of thought it was interesting. Maybe these small children should hear the sound of the shepherds of the flock and hear Pastor Eric and hear my voice, so that they too know when the shepherd speaks what he sounds like." And he said, "I'm the true shepherd and the good shepherd," and states that the shepherd know his sheep. In John chapter 10 verse 27 through 30, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand, for my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Why? Because I and my Father are one. Church, we either believe that or we don't. We either follow him or we don't. He says, right there, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me." So either we believe that and we follow him, or we don't and we don't. We don't believe him and we don't follow him. Jesus Christ in the beginning of this area is questioned on who he is. We question who he is when we first hear about him in our journey. Jesus is seen as both good and bad. We question sometimes Jesus, good and bad. Jesus is great. He allowed this to happen. Oh my Lord, he did this to me. How could he do that? A loving God. The debate begins, especially in the face of tragedy. When things don't go our way, then during his journey, he promises the helper, the Holy Spirit. And during our journey, as we accept Jesus Christ, and we understand and have that knowledge of the Holy Spirit, then Jesus Christ is questioned on who he is. Who are you? And in the other scriptures, he even asks them, "Who do you say I am?" Some say you're this and that. No. Who do you say I am? And so he's questioned on who he is. And we question who he is. Is he a man? Is he a prophet? Is he Lord? As people understand and follow him, they get that understanding of who and what he is. And we do the same thing on our journey. And I want to close with this from John chapter 11, verse 25 through 27. And it's talking about Lazarus and his death and what goes on. And them saying, "Jesus, I wish you were here." He said, "Don't worry about it. And later on he says, God, I don't want to do this, but man, if it helps people believe, let me do this. But the part I want to focus on is in verse 25 through 27, and we'll close with that. Jesus said to her, talking to Martha, he said in verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And my message title today, at the very end, is simply this. What he says next. Do you believe this? Church, it's simple today. He is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in him shall never die. Do you believe this? If we believe this, then we must follow him. We must follow him. We must be obedient to him. We must serve him. We must serve each other. We must pray for each other. We must love one another. Scriptures tell us, if you are my disciples, you will do this. If you do this, you are my disciples. They will know you by your fruit. Do you believe this? That he is the resurrection and the life. Remember, our job is to shine his light to other people. Those that are thirsting, to bring them to him. Take him to them. Whatever we have to do. If we can't get people here, maybe you need to go where they are, folks. And tell them about Jesus Christ. Well, I invited them to church. They won't come. You know what? It's time for you to spend some time and go to their home, maybe. Take them to eat. Tell them about Jesus Christ and give them that drink that you can't provide. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the freedom to worship today in this country. Lord, we are thankful for the gift we have of eternal life through our belief and trust and faith in your Son. God, the next few weeks we'll spend going through those final days, following the footsteps of Jesus as he's hailed as a hero. And days later, a zero. Crucified, beaten at the hands of the guards. Ridiculed, kicked, spat upon. God, in what ways have we kicked and beat and spat upon Jesus Christ? Not physically, but through our actions and our words. Lord, those are two of the most basic things we can do to show ourselves different than the rest of the world, other than our faith in Jesus Christ. But our actions and our words are the things that reflect the light and what's inside of us. God, where our dark hearts exist, would you shine light in there? Where our hardened hearts exist, would you soften them up? Where our pride gets in the way, would you just remove that and humble us? Lord, help us to be a witness to the amazing grace and mercy Jesus Christ has showed us. Help us to identify your good works and not miss them. Lord, to those of us that are blind, help us to see. God, our actions and our words and mouth as we go out this week and come in contact with the human race. Allow us to show people the same amount of grace and mercy that you've shown us. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.